So in the home and garden show just recently, there was an interesting thing. It was a young couple who were looking at purchasing their first home, and it was a very small home. And it had a picture of this man and woman, and the man is looking in on the washroom, the one and only washroom in this small home, and he looks at it and he goes, "I really like it." And the woman looks at it and then looks at him and says, "It's a little bit yucky. But once we restore it, it'll be beautiful." And I love that. It stayed with me because there is this concept of restoring things. Scott and Vi and Barb and I had the privilege of traveling into Europe, and I know you think I'm rather strange, and so that's quite fine, but I could spend all of my time in the churches and the cathedrals. They are absolutely gorgeous, and I just love being there. But in all the cathedrals and all the churches that we were in, there wasn't one of them that wasn't being restored. It's always in the process of being restored. And one of the reasons for that was because they're thousands of years old, and to make it somehow to its inception, to its original glory, the restoration work has to continually be in process. Say all that to say that we're in the book of Ezekiel. And part of this book, in a very large sense, has to do with Israel and the restoration of it. And it goes something like this. Israel presents itself before God. And Israel says, "I really like us." And Ezekiel looks at God and then looks at Israel and says, "You're just a little bit yucky. But God is at process of making the original glory be seen in you." And it's a wonderful book, even though it's very much like Revelation and parts of Daniel. There's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of apocryphal language. It's this concept that no matter how old Israel was and is and will continue to be, God is going to be constantly at work in its restoration so that its original glory can be seen. And there are a couple of scriptures that are really quite interesting, and this has been a work in progress all week long, and so my heart goes out to the PowerPoint people. I'm not sure what I gave them, but we'll just kind of go with this flow this morning. But in Ezekiel chapter 36, there's this concept of the Holy Spirit and restoration. The Holy Spirit is talked about in so many ways in Scripture, but primarily, it's the Holy Spirit is seen as breath, the breath of God, like in that original statement back in Genesis where God creates Adam and Eve and God breathes life into Adam. So there's a lot of breath that's being used. For example, in John chapter 20, Jesus gathers his disciples around him. And I always thought this was strange. When I first heard this as a little boy, I wanted to picture that. And I think I was practicing in the pew because the scripture says Jesus gathered his disciples around him and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I thought, well, what if Jesus had bad breath? Well, that wouldn't have been so good. And it was this concept. I'm trying to picture this in my mind. What exactly does this mean? But there's that concept of it's the breath of God overwhelming someone's life, or the Holy Spirit is being seen. And the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does. Remember the story in John chapter 3 where here was Nicodemus and Jesus said, you must be born again. And he just couldn't understand what that meant. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does. You can't tell where the wind comes from and you can't tell always where it's going, but it's the wind of God flowing in our lives. So in Ezekiel, there's this concept of restoration. And so in chapter 36 of Ezekiel, in verse 25, he says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. And then listen to this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of feeling, of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I think there are times in all of our lives when we know that the power of God has come to rest on us so much that we can't help but do what the Spirit is leading us to do. And if that sounds strange, how many of you can remember thinking about and praying about the time that you wanted to completely give yourself to Christ? For some of us, it was right up to our baptism. How many of you have had the experience of thinking quietly to yourself, I want to do this. I want to be baptized into Christ. And going home and not even tasting the food. And sleeping, but not really sleeping. Because there was something happening in your life where you knew, I want to do this. And in that emotion, that intellect, that understanding of who you are, you knew it was going to change. And you can't really put it into words, can you? When you try to tell someone what it was like when you wanted to commit to Christ, it's almost beyond words. Especially for those of you, maybe there are some of you who can tell, where there was such a desire to give yourself to Christ that it didn't matter if you had to cut through the ice to be baptized into Christ. It was such a desire that this is what God is calling me to do. And I love the stories about the glory of God being demonstrated in our lives. There was a song written back in the 60s, and one of the lyrics was, I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. It's the concept of allowing the Spirit of God to change us on a constant basis, where Scripture comes alive and you know that God is very, very real in our life. And the story of Israel was, back in Ezekiel's day, is that God is trying to break through. God has always been in wanting to restore all things. In fact, that's what Paul constantly talks about. That's what Jesus talked about. That's what Peter talked about. That's what John talked about, that the restoration of God isn't finished yet. And it's not just with us individually, although he wants each one of us individually to know that that's what he's about, the ongoing work of God, and knowing that no matter how many scriptures we know, that may not necessarily change us, but it's what those scriptures will do in helping us to understand that God is at work in each of our lives and motivating us and encouraging us and moving us into new ways. And when religion becomes boring, that's where it should be. But spiritually, the boredom will never take place when it's being driven by God's Holy Spirit in our lives. And there's this wonderful story that I wanted to share today, and it's done in such a beautiful way that life comes to it. So I want you to turn with me in your Bible, and we can follow on PowerPoint if you want. All of everything that I've said today comes to this now. In Ezekiel chapter 37 is one of the most curious and one of the most profound scriptures in all of the Bible. And you really want to, with me today, go there in your mind. Just allow what's being written to go there in your imagination. Probably many of us have had opportunities to walk through a graveyard. And minds can just kind of do what they want to do, and emotions can do what they want to do. If you've been to a graveyard of someone who is buried there, whom you know and whom you love, you're going to go in a certain direction. But sometimes we go somewhere to a graveyard where we don't really know anyone. And if you stop and look at the graves, and sometimes the words engraved on the tombstone, something happens where you wonder, who was this person? My goodness, this person lived to 111 years of age. Oh, this person lived to, 1 year of age. And you picture it. Well, here in Ezekiel 37, what God does is he takes Ezekiel to this place, and it's being used in symbolism to represent Israel. Now, remember what Israel says. I think I look pretty good. And Ezekiel says, just a little bit yucky. But God wants to do something. And here's what God does. Ezekiel 37 says this. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. Remember when David in Psalm 23 talked about living in the valley of the shadow of death? Here you have a valley that is death. And it says this, it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth, walking through the cemetery, back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. And they were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, preach to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord! Exclamation point. Now I want to stop. And what can happen sometimes, and I don't know if anyone here is doing this, I do this all the time. I read scriptures, and because we're reading scripture, you just kind of read it. But if you can picture this in your mind, here's Ezekiel, God, the Holy Spirit, is helping him walk through the cemetery, if you will, and God says to Ezekiel, preach to these dry bones. I think that's one of the first times God has ever asked a preacher to preach to nobody. Preach to the bones. And I could say something and I won't, but preach to the bones. It says, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath. Jesus gathered his disciples and he breathed on them. Breath. I want to stop. This may seem like absolutely nothing, but I think it's cool. There are many names given to God. God, Lord, so forth. Adonai. One of the original names for God translated into English is Jehovah. The problem is God's name cannot be pronounced. There were no vowels. We put them in there. So to take the original name from God, and by the way, when most scholars were writing the original manuscripts, they would just leave God's name blank. He's too holy. And we don't know his name. We don't know his name. So from the original language comes down to our language of Jehovah without the vowels. J-H-V-H. sometimes J isn't pronounced, comes out like this. Breath. You can exhale or breathe it in. The first time a baby is considered alive by doctors is when a baby takes his or her first, say it, breath. The first name a baby pronounces is God's name. When someone is considered dead, it's when they take their last, say it with me, breath. The last thing a person says is God's name. The breath of God. When God breathed into Adam the breath of life. The Holy Spirit is all about giving us new life on a continual process. When Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," it was, I'm sure, when it happened. But there are times in all of our lives when there are experiences, and God is with us in every one of those experiences, whether it's profound, exhilarating, or torturous. He's with us every step. And so when God asks Ezekiel, breathe, let them know, breathe into these dead, dry, old bones. Now it comes into context. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And so I preached as I was commanded. And as I was preaching, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. They looked alive. They looked spiritual, but there was nothing there. Then he said, "Preach to the breath. Preach, son of man, and say to the breath, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, I preached as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." The symbolism is just profound, as well as the reality of it. You think Ezekiel will ever forget that day? But there are times in our lives, even if something happened to us years ago, you still feel it today. When you recall it, you get those feelings back immediately. And for many of us, we can remember the day when you knew your life will never be the same. And the breath of God comes. So whenever it's cold outside and the wind is so blowing and the wind takes your breath away, God is with you in a very real way. May the breath of God continue to breathe newness into each of our lives.